You're listening to DraftKings Network.
That was a rare postgame that felt like halftime, Stu Gotts. For the first time in our show's history, we are doing two shows in one day. You've actually had some experience with this, working with Hawk.
Yes.
You did two-a-days.
It almost killed me.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yes. The good thing is we're actually headed into a Friday, and you'll have two shows to have 2 days to listen to. Part of what we're doing here is we don't want to run the risk of things changing. And also, you heard about our security guard situation. So this is technically the local hour for Friday, even though it's a Thursday and you're getting it first. So with that, I guess one local topic, Peyton Pritchard. Okay, I'm done.
All right,
Billy, why you Manny?
Right, exactly.
Manny can get you a good price for security.
I want to hear more about Manny. I would. I would like to hear more about Manny because I think Billy is doing the nice thing here where Dan is spending a lot of money on security and Billy is just simply giving him a more affordable option in Manny. Mm-hmm. I'm not certain we need a Navy SEAL when Manny is just lurking around the neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah,
he's a big guy, I'm telling you. This is not one to be trifled with. So
I want to hear all about Manny because, obviously, it's free now, right? The freedom that we have to do the show means that we can piss a lot of people off with opinions that aren't about Tua, right? It's a little bit different. So while everything was going on, while I see Trump supporters breaking into the Capitol building and causing a terroristic act, I was like, man, this is a bad week to let go of security. It's just, I would love to have the peace of mind to have security because our last day of having security here was Monday. And then the price got back after we already agreed to have peace of mind. And I have my regrets. And I wish Manny were one of our candidates.
I mean, Manny works on the cheap, I'm assuming, right, Bill? Manny?
I've never approached him for this service. There's been other services that Manny's provided, but I've never approached him for security. I don't know what his rate is, but I wouldn't mess with him. And I'm wondering if I should even be mentioning his name because then he may just show up there and then you'll have to pay him.
Right, but we have a Navy SEAL here, so I think we're...
Maybe we should try to get our money's worth and bring the Navy SEAL in and talk to the Navy SEAL about his life.
About Ooh, Navy SEAL type things. Maybe. That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Maybe SEAL, we should do that.
Yeah.
Wow. Terrible. How long before those Navy SEALs are co-hosting Stupidity?
What do you mean? He's coming on today. I mean, what are you talking about? And so is Manny. I mean, how about that?
I couldn't help but notice as the world burned, everyone on the show outside of Dan and myself has joined Cameo. It was an odd time to maybe roll that out, Billy, maybe read the room a little bit. But what got you to Cameo finally?
Well, I finally, spoke to our friend Addison. Yeah, timing-wise, not great, probably, by me. Things apparently take a little bit of time to, put it together. And honestly, I was just, it's very stressful. This is a very stressful thing. I'm not a selfie person. This is, look, they're starting to pile up, okay? And every time I go to do one, I think, I can't do this. I just can't do this. But I have to do this now. This is part of the new thing. So I have to do it. But the thing is, every time that I don't do one, then another one just adds on. And there's time limit. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little concerned, Stu Gotts, about your popularity on Cameo because I'm not you. I'm not nearly as popular as you are. And you told me that you were going to take care of it this weekend. Now, unless you have different rules, I was told you have 4 days to do this. So this weekend, all of the ones that are already in there for you will be expired.
No,
concerned about how many you have built up and how possible it's going to be for you to do it. Because I see some of the ones that I've been sent, I'm like, this is a lot. This is overwhelming. This is going to take a long time to do. And I don't think that you're going to be able to do all of yours.
All right. So I have over 200 that I have to do. I have 7 days to do. No, listen to me. Just hear me out. Just hear me out, guys.
Oh, my God.
I have 7 days to get them all done. So that's
No, you don't, though.
No, I think Stu Gotts does. Addison told me Stu Gotts signed up like a few months ago or something. And like that changed in the last.
How many have you done?
I haven't done any.
Oh,
Billy,
my God.
Billy, hold on a second. You also have the option of expanding it out till 7 days if you feel like you're too busy. You could set in your settings, you could change it till 7 days. Now,
Sue, you mess up, man. You mess up. There's no way you can punch out 200 videos
in one
day.
There's no way he can do that.
No.
I knew you would do this, and you're going to find out that you're your own worst enemy.
You're not hearing out my plan here, okay? In addition to Greg Cody interviewing me on Stupidity and Carl coming on and the Navy SEAL, okay? And whoever the, you know, the D.C. correspondent we had on. That's going to talk to...
Wow, you didn't even care to remember his name.
What is his
Something
name?
Something Sherman.
Stugatz, what is his first name? You said you were going to get high with him.
I am.
What is his first name? You said he's going to do Stupidity. You hired him just because he's a celebrity. Who is he? What is his first name?
Ralph Sherman, of course. And so he and I are going to get high. He's going to be on the podcast. But I am also... So I decided to save these for Stupidity, okay?
Oh, my God.
I am
you
going to...
You literally have no time.
It's called Killing Two Birds with One Stone, Michael.
So bad. It's going to take so much longer than you think.
No. So I think people would love the idea of me doing their recording during a recording of Stupidity.
We're only going to get like Stupidity. Seven done in one episode.
You know what?
Let's do it right now.
Turn it down all his money?
Stugatz. Let's do it, actually.
He has no idea how. Wait,
right
That's
now.
No, yeah.
I want to do it.
Look at him. He has no idea
Mike,
how. Dad.
I want to do it right now.
I want him
to do right now a couple of cameos. Or can he do one cameo right now live? And a listener would appreciate this if we were doing a personal show for a listener. Billy, I think your timing, I don't think we're making enough fun of your timing yesterday. You coming out sheepish, who would want a birthday message from me in the middle of America on fire, Billy? Like, it was just perfectly you. You limp in on cameo. You're not sure you want to do it. I'm not sure. You know what? Yeah. I'm going to take the leap. I'm going to do it now. Let me do it while America is burning.
If I'm going to be honest with you, just in my meager defense, I wasn't watching the news because I was just looking at the app on my phone saying, how do I record this video? No, this was a bad intro video. I need to redo this. And I was at that for about 4 hours. And then I sent it out and someone texted me like, it's a strange time to send that out. And I go, what's happening? They're like, you should turn on the news. And I was like, oh.
We have James Harden on our staff.
But there's no takesies backsies at that point, you know?
Billy, I ripped out my opening, my intro video, one take. It took me 15 seconds. It was over.
Oh, God bless you. That's not going to happen to me.
Billy's intro video is laugh out loud funny. You're supposed to, like, sell yourself. Really bring the energy to the people. It's just Billy. Hello.
Why would you want this?
This is Billy.
Hello, this is
Instagram. This is my cameo.
Billy.
Oh, you saw? Oh, yes, no. People can see that?
No, not only did I see it, Billy, I saw it at exactly the wrong time. And you know what it reminded me of, Billy? I think it's my literal favorite moment in the last 18 months on air. And I remember this is so funny that it happened on air. I had to pull Mina. This is a true story. I had to pull Mina out of the room. Mike Ryan was somewhere. Mike, what were you doing? You went on. Was that when you were in Fort Wayne? Is that what happened?
No, Fort Wayne was a couple of years ago. And that's really the line of demarcation for when things started going south for us at ESPN.
Okay, but where were you the day that Billy was in charge here? Because all of this reminds me of something.
I mean,
something.
Billy's been in charge a couple of times.
Well, but the day I'm talking about, which produced the funny video that I'm about to tell, which is I got in trouble for something, and the first 15 seconds of the video are Billy walking around in circles, and it's a clip that went viral. And nobody understands how scared Billy looks while I'm going in on Trump. Okay.
That was Fort Wayne day, yeah.
Okay, so you were in Fort Wayne. It was a couple of years ago then.
Yeah.
All right, so you weren't here and Billy was in charge. And it's more than 18 months. It's 24 months. Billy, so help me with this because I remember, you know the clip I'm talking about, right?
Oh, I'm aware of the clip that you're talking about. I became an unintentional meme that day.
Okay, so let me tell the audience this story because now they'll have the backstory. I don't think a lot of people actually got this joke. There were a number of jokes, Stugatz, that people did not get. The day with the elephants, you guys need to tell that story, do I not? When the day we weren't discussing the literal elephants in the room and there were 20 Disney Dumbos hanging in the room and nobody asked the question or got the joke, why is Dan not talking about the elephant in the room?
That's why the elephants were in the room?
We have a lot of stories that you've been teasing to tell that I'm trying to keep track of here. There's the elephant one. There's a Tarpon Ben story that we still need to hear. So I'm
okay,
marking
well,
all
no,
these
this
down.
This is the Mina one. This is the Mina Kimes one where the day that I came out and said what I said about we shouldn't have to at ESPN talk about only through athletes. We shouldn't be only using them to talk about the political issues of the day. The specifics of it were, it was the send them back chant, which hurt me like in my soul because my parents are exiles and fear of the other is something that got us to where we are today. And so I said that racism needs to be called out publicly, no matter, you know, no matter the situation that you're in. Like if you make me the lead Hispanic voice for America because of the power of, you know, the decade of putting us on television, if you make, you can't, it can't be silenced. Like it can't be silenced. Like you need to let me speak when there are brown babies in cages on the border. If you're going to make me the voice for that, and you need to let me speak when the president of the country is saying, you know, send them home to people who look like me or have a backstory like mine and is black and brown. So in some instances, you can't shut up. And so I kicked Mina out of the room that day before because I didn't want her to get in trouble because of all, you know, whatever. I just told her, go outside. But Billy was in charge and Mike wasn't here. And so the clip begins. Billy, you take it from there.
No. Billy was also kicked out of the room and was in the penalty box and didn't have an earpiece in and had no idea what was going on.
All right.
But could hear from other people that something was going on, but was not allowed in the room. And then I said, Bruce, what's going on? And then Bruce retired.
Bruce?
Well, then Bruce woke up.
Wait a minute, Bruce. All right, hold on. I need to hear more about the shit show we've been running around here. I need to hear more about this because
it's kind of starting to feel like Dan took advantage of a situation.
Well, so maybe because Mike was out of town and I sensed a weakness in the air, I kicked Mina out of the room and I'm like, Billy's in charge. Corporate Mike's the hell out of here. Let me see if I can start some sparks here.
I was still in the room. I wasn't listening to anything.
Nothing. Right. And so, Billy, why were you in the penalty box? Take us through it because
I don't know. Hold on.
Because Juju and Angel are going to turn this into social media that's going to be funny because people need to see this clip, how awkward it is of me. They need the backstory because it's funny. Of me going in, you know, moderately, not really going in, but just saying, look, it needs to be called out even though this doesn't have much of anything to do with sports. Like, you can't be doing that to brown people. That's racist. Somebody, you need to say that's racist. It's not even controversial to say it's racist. Just somebody say that it's racist. It's okay to say that the president is saying something that's racist here. Like, as far as these things go, that's pretty benign in terms of controversy, right? But at the time, it was not. This had not yet arrived. Black Lives Matter, everything. George Floyd dying in the street. None of that stuff had happened yet. You know, a pandemic had not happened yet. And so everything that happens after that becomes hugely awkward for us, if you've been watching how it is we end up not on ESPN Radio today. And that viral clip sort of started, what has been forced upon us now, where we're doing two shows in one day and we're paying our own Navy SEAL.
That was 100% the start of it.
Billy, now that we can put it up with the context, I want people to see the clip of just how scared and awkward that was, because what was on the green screen behind you? Because the first few seconds of the clip, the director stays on you when I'm getting in trouble. That's what went viral, and people didn't understand, why is that guy at the beginning look so scared? Why was the camera on him for 10 seconds?
People weren't the only ones wondering why that was happening. A person, me, was also wondering why that was happening and what was happening, because I couldn't hear anything, but I knew that something was happening just based on the faces that I saw around me, and kind of like a this face. I don't know how to describe this. I don't know how that even happened. I think I played a wrong sound or something. I don't know what happened that led to me getting kicked out or sent to the ocean or something, but I ended up in the penalty box, and I think that I didn't even know what was going on, and I may or may not have been doing like tricks for the camera and hamming it up, which I hope to God I was not, but that's something I would do sometimes without even realizing what was being said in the other
room. Whose fault was it, though? Because I heard Chris already trying to get out from under blame because he's like, we're going here now. Was it Chris's fault that nobody
Billy was very quick to just like, I didn't like, you know, I feel like everyone's just doing this thing. And I feel like Dan needs to look in the mirror. That's what I think.
I need to look in the mirror? I mean, what do I need to look in the
mirror? It all starts with you.
Thank you, Dan. We can't take words
out of your mouth once you've said them. Like, we're sitting in that studio. Like, what is what? Dan, you stop right now. This is the Dan Le Batard Show. Wait. You hush!
Okay, you say that, and yet one of my favorite bits in the last 18 months. Hold on a second, because I think, look, We've been telling you.
You took advantage.
Hold on. Hold on.
You did.
Hold on.
Our weakest moment.
Please. Okay.
No one could have stopped
that. Mike's
not
there. Billy's in the penalty box, and I'm not listening. I mean.
Okay. So please let me explain this to you as we do what is our second show of the day, and we head into a, you know, weird production schedule. This is actually Friday, where I get nostalgic for a second, even though this is the local hour, because Mike Ryan, one of my favorite bits over the last 24 months, and we're going to re-release some of these things we were doing in the shadows to sort of signal to the people in the audience who are paying attention, hey, look, we're trapped inside the machine. Help us, creative people. One of my favorite things was the corporate Michael bit. And the audience hated that so much, hated Mike, hated everything about that. But because, and I do think it was too inside, Mike, because just we knew like sort of what was happening around here in a way that was uncomfortable. And so it was, but I don't think you've ever done a bit that people have liked less than corporate Michael.
Yeah, and it might be one of my favorites. And it's kind of afterwards that all these hipsters are like, man, I love corporate Mike. Where were you when I needed you? I was drowning back then.
But I hated corporate Mike.
That was inside. Probably should have pulled the Christmas ripcord a little bit when Chris Cody joined. I thought people really started to swing back around.
Is that how Anthony ended up in our crew? Just by being a part of that bit? Yeah, is that like where it started?
I think McGillicuddy or something like that, right?
Mick something, or what was his name?
There were three characters. Regardless, this is going to be a fun evolution. We will have a website for you here soon. A world. I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, but if you're fans of this show, I think we're scrambling, man. We are scrambling right now in a lot of different ways, in ways that are scary and exhausting, and it's been super exciting too. I feel closer to you guys. I feel so less restricted by our just things that I feel like this is going to be a really fun time of growth for our show and for just a whole lot of good things, because a whole lot of people are arriving here and they just see clearly everything that's happened over the last 18 months in America. And they're like, wait, this can be a funny sports thing that's also smart and can tell us about what's going on in America today in ways that we need to hear with vital voices having a platform.
I'm having a blast, man. It was McDonough. It was McDonough.
It was a Cokie McDonough?
I knew it. Oh, yeah. McDonough. Classic. I ended up like floating in a pool for some reason in one of your suits, Dan.
Yeah, you died. That was so great.
Well, how did the bit end? Hold on. For those of you. Hold on. Can you guys.
It ended with a waterlogged corpse floating in a Cleveland pool.
No, hold on. You know what? No, you know what I'd like to do? What I'd like to do here with the rest of the local hour to let the audience fully in on the joke, why don't you take them behind the bit? Chris and Mike, just for. Give them a little taste. I know it's self involved, but just. Take them behind the bit, because that bit, you guys, how did it end up with you and your waterlogged corpse in the pool in wearing one of my suits?
I think it started with me claiming that I could float. And then you were just like, go float in this, like, and then I did something as Mike's assistant. I don't remember how I ended up in the pool.
We built out this, well, it was part of the plan that we were literally going to kill off these characters. It became evident that we needed to about midweek. But there was a whole story.
You leaned into it, though. No. But as soon as it became evident, you doubled down. You doubled down. And I remember yelling at you in the corners, keep it up. Keep pushing.
Well, Michael is a character that you were supposed to hate, right? And then everybody started hating it, like really hating it, to the point that it was not fun just like being me dealing with a reaction. But the reaction was what I was looking for. We were building out Levitard and Friends, and we had this live event that I desperately wanted to sell out, and thank God it sold out. So I was thinking of a creative device to not annoy the listeners with the messaging, like, this is the reason, and we were dealing with all the stuff that happened during when I was at Fort Wayne, which I kind of understand where Billy was coming from with the cameo stuff, because I was having what to that evening was my greatest time producing this show. I had such a wonderful time at Fort Wayne, and afterwards.
No, but also tied into it, also tied into this, correct, is that at that point you are underneath legitimately have a producer problem, because when you leave town, all of a sudden Billy and Chris don't know this part of the job, that you've spent weeks or months pulling me by a chain, keeping me off of this stuff. So, yes, you're absolutely right, you guys. Yes, I saw an opening. I saw an opening.
You took advantage of us.
Mike was gone for a day and has been pulling on the chain around my neck hard as corporate Michael, and it wasn't Mike's choice.
To be clear, though, you would have said a lot of the things you said that day had I been here. There was no stopping you, and I think we all took the temperature of the room. The only thing that I would have pulled back on was the pointed criticism at ESPN. Whether or not that would have happened if I were here, who cares? It happened, and we're all better for it. We all came out on the other side. That was the start. I think Chris Cody was the end, and now we're doing our second show today. But Michael was this device that I created just to get corporate messaging out there and also just be a bad guy as we were bumping against all this stuff. A lot of people got it, but a lot of people didn't and just hated what was supposed to be a heel. And I was like, wow, this is great. I got real heat as a wrestling villain. This is amazing. I'm not a popular villain. Everyone hates me. And then day two, I was like, oh my God.
It's too much. Yeah.
Billy hated it. It was just not popular in my studio.
I didn't know that. Billy, you hated corporate Mike.
I think in defense of me and Billy, we still don't get the bit. And yes, I will tell you, in midweek, I had a discussion with Billy about how much indeed we did hate corporate Mike. I mean, I'm sorry. I wouldn't tell the truth here.
No. I remember just coming in and everyone was in costumes. I was like, what's happening right now? And then everybody's going along on this bit thing. And I'm like, okay, well, here we are. Billy, I don't know what we're doing tomorrow, but I guess we'll find out when we get there.
To Billy's credit, he was speaking for the audience. Yeah, he was speaking for the audience. And it was just like, it was pretty toxic. But the whole vision was to have a lackey and then build out this wrestling stable and then kill them off. I probably should have had the sight gag of Chris, because Chris played it great. He was just like a, because he was still an oaf. He was oafy Chris trying to be corporate.
Chris in the corporate shirt and tie.
I've never looked better.
With a fat smile on his face. It made me so happy. You trying to fit in the corporate culture. And I mean, look at him, like the least corporate person in the history of corporation.
If we're going to break down how the bit went, it should have been Chris from the beginning. It should have been corporate Chris. And then it would have been like, oh, he's this kind of bumbling guy that's trying to keep control of the situation, but there's no real control here.
As opposed to the bumbling guy who was trying to keep control of the situation by pulling on my chain all the time, by inventing a magic crate of content and all the other devices, the bells and whistles that would make me sniff in another direction like a trained dog that didn't want to get anywhere near the fun.
I really wish people were. There was a disconnect between the people that were just listening on podcasts and the people that actually got the sight gags too, because we played in that visual sandbox quite well, holding up notes. I had feedback for you during the show. I was asking you to talk about the NL East.
I think that's what got lost. I think what got lost is right there, the difference between we were doing a show for a podcast audience, a radio audience, and a television audience. I think the people who liked it were the people who saw you holding up that stuff, letting only them in on the joke. But you know what I think would be valuable, Mike, going forward here? Because I've always done this wrong in trying to build out our show, right? Stugatz really knows radio. We as a group have really learned how to do radio over 20 years in a way that is pretty effortless for us, in terms of just we sit down at the microphones and we go, and we can figure out a way to make it entertaining for you or decent or sticky in the ways that it is. And I have found that as we've headed down this path some, I have too often explained the joke. I explain the joke too much and it gets in the way, because people who are on the inside of the joke don't want it explained, even though once upon a time they were on the outside of the joke and then hated us and then demanded that it be explained, but then they don't want other people to do it. And so I'm constantly explaining jokes to my detriment to include more audience and cast a wider net. And now that net is right here. It's right here. And I think those people would really delight in hearing like the behind the scenes stuff on now we can tell the stories that actually explain the joke. Because I'm in a room after the Billy viral video and I'm in trouble and in the news and newspapers are writing, you know, it is Dan Le Batard being punished. And I'm just silenced. I'm silent the whole time. Silent, 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 silent. And then our first day back, there are 20 Disney Dumbo elephants in the room. 20 of them. Dumbo, Disney, the elephant in the room.
Don't get it.
Nobody did. Nobody did. It's such a good joke.
But what's the joke?